The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News. Talk. Sports. So I took part in both the holiday parade, and I went and watched the Packers game yesterday at Lambeau. And I made a discovery. I'm too old to go sit out in the woods and deer hunt. I don't think I could handle it. I am worse for the wear this morning. I'm just not going to lie about it. When you get to be my age, and I'm not saying I'm ancient, but I'm in my early 50s, things that you've picked up over the years, I've got a bad left shoulder. I injured it about 11, 12 years ago. And it just acts up every now and again. I've got those. I broke my arm as a kid. That one bothers me in certain weather and on. Whatever ache and pain I have, every last one of them hurts right now. I need a whirlpool. I do. I need the old sauna. I need something. But I feel beat up. Wasn't too bad after the parade. By the way, a sparsely attended parade, to say the least. You know the northern route, Jason, when you got empty? Nothing. Yeah, once you made the turn there on, that's on Walnut we turn on, right? Yeah. Off of Jefferson, that was pretty much it. First parade in memory that we had leftover candy. And that was with the guys trying to give kids more than they should have. Especially near the end. Oh, we've got X number of bags left of candy. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll admit that in the last 15 years, things have been warmer than they were when I was a kid. Now that winter feels like winter again. And again, this is the product of me being older. When I was a kid, I did not consider this weather incredibly cold. When you got to 20 below, okay, now you got my attention. Now I was a kid. I understand that. And I had to go in milk in the morning, you know, every morning in it. And I get that. But I'm telling you, our perception, things have been warmer, I admit. I think things are getting colder again. By the way, I watched a little bit of the Giants-Cowboys game, which was not a great game. It was an okay game when I got home. And Joe Buck was talking about how the Super Bowl is going to be at that stadium. Now, it may or may not be as cold as the Farmer's Almanac is predicting for early February, but even if it's as cold as it was there yesterday, it's going to be, I think, a problem. You have to remember, the overwhelming majority, not entirely, but a large percentage of the people who go to the Super Bowl these days are the hoity-toity. And the hoity-toity aren't going to want to sit in the cold. And they're not going to want to spend a week in New York in winter. In summer, it's a great place to be. In the warm weather, I love Manhattan. I really do. Been there twice. Love it. Really do. But what, you know, New Orleans. Even that, look what happened with the Packers. We were in Dallas in 2010, and it was unusually cold in Dallas. Look how that. People are like, well, hey, wait a minute. I come to the Super Bowl for vacation. It's going to be very interesting to see how New York works out. By the way, one other, I guess, global warming related note. I watched a lot of college football over the weekend. By the way, the Badgers look stronger against the Gophers than Jason or I would have guessed. They look pretty good. However, Jason, did you watch any of the games that took place in the South? It was cold all over the southern United States. They all looked like Minneapolis. Or darn near. I'm barely exaggerating on that, right? Just about every, you know, the SEC, all of those games. It was Texas A&M. Yeah. Yeah, Johnny Manziel looked like a losing quarterback standing in the cold. He really did. You're gleeful about that, huh? Really? Yeah, not a fan, huh? Well, he brought that on himself. He absolutely brought that attitude on himself. I don't blame him. Kid's a jerk, and I know he's a kid, but there are kids who aren't jerks. He had that hands in the pocket, looking cold. So just talk to me about global warming. And don't give me that, well, yeah, you see what happens is the cold shifts south and then it's warmer north. Really? It's warmer here now? Really? All right. I am done for the moment whining about the cold, and I want to be positive here. I want to thank everybody who gave generously Friday to families of children with cancer. Now, I'm not talking about our summer radiothon. I'm talking about this event to help out for the Christmas party and how we do this every November. This was our biggest day ever. Ever. And I'm not sure, but based on what someone from the organization told me Friday, it sounds like this is unusual. They're not going to have to tap into any other funds for the Christmas party. That it's going to be entirely covered by what folks did, which is just fabulous, because that's, you know, the money that we raised and other funds that they get, but money we raised in the summer. Now, all of that goes to their year-round stuff. We pretty much doubled on Friday what we normally do at Nicolet Bank. So I want to thank everybody, and especially, I won't say her name on the air. I don't know that she would want me to, but we did name her 17 grandchildren. She gave $100 for every one of her healthy 17 grandchildren. It's just fabulous. It was just, and there was a point, and Jason, you probably heard it on the air, from like 10 to 10:30, it sounded like Bay Park Square. I mean, it was just nuts. People bringing gifts, people bringing cash. It was just electric. It really was. That's when Mike Daniels from Nicolet, and I always think I'm saying his name wrong because there's a Packer by the same name. I always think I'm getting his name wrong. Mike Daniels from Nicolet Bank came by and was on the air for a while. And it was everyone who was there at that time was just really excited to be there. It was a very cool feeling. All right, now I'm going to rip on the Green Bay School District. Why? Well, one, they deserve it. I guess that's really the only reason. I was going to say, two, I enjoy it. That wouldn't be exactly true. It wouldn't be true. I don't delight in having to point out others' incompetence. I really don't. Oh, okay. Occasionally, we all indulge in a little schadenfreude. But, no, I mean, they're just stunning. On Friday, the Green Bay School District finally announced why it fired a former Nicolet Elementary School principal, Melissa Ellingson. By the way, a coworker got this right, and I got it wrong. A coworker predicted it was over the theft of money. It was over the theft of money. Green Bay School Superintendent Michelle Langenfeld explained the situation on Friday. Now, one of the things we do on this show is raise questions that seemingly no one else in the media does. This happened on October 16th that she was fired. They found out about the $1,500. She made 14 transactions with accounts. She was dipping into accounts for her own personal use. They didn't announce her firing until early this month. Okay, apparently word was getting out, so they finally said, all right, here's what happened. But they didn't say what happened. They didn't say that she was fired over funds. Now, there's no, to my knowledge, there was no additional investigation. There was nothing new they learned from the time they announced her firing until Friday. So why did they wait until Friday to announce that it was over the theft of money? And why did they finally? Why? If they went that long without saying why she was fired, why did they suddenly do it on Friday? There, to my knowledge, there doesn't appear to have suddenly been new information that, okay, now we know all the facts, so we can tell the public. Why? I have my theories. I'm not prepared to share them here right now. But I have a theory on why they suddenly on Friday finally said, yeah, she stole money. Now, here is what I want to really criticize them for. And I want to really criticize them for this. When they issued the initial news release, actually it was late October. It wasn't this month. It was late October. Jason and I have checked our NC cap. In late October, do you remember the tone of that news release? Children's safety is the number one concern, and blah, blah, blah. And then later in the news release, at no time were children's safety compromised, or however they said it in that news release. And I said at the time, okay, if this isn't something, if she wasn't fired for something that does potentially compromise student safety, then I'm going to rip them a new one for scaring the hell out of the community for nothing. Stealing $1,500 does not compromise child safety, so I am going to rip the hell out of them for scaring the hell out of the community for nothing. And if that is their standard boilerplate release when an administrator is fired, a school principal is fired, they had better change it. Because that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, ever. She stole $1,500, and I am not attempting to minimize that. I'm not. But it doesn't put children at risk. And the first thing you do when you say your child was safe at all times, what's the first thing a parent or the community starts wondering? What put the children at risk? You don't say that unless the potential for risk was there. Here's another question. Why didn't they just say that she was fired for taking money back in late October? Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they say that she's accused of theft and the so on, so on, so on? The state's determining whether her license will be suspended. They announce her firing 2 weeks late. They announce her firing 2 weeks late in late October, but don't say why she was fired. And 3 weeks after announcing that she was fired, they announce why she was fired. And, of course, nobody at the news conference asks, well, why are you telling us this now? Why are you finally saying it's because she stole money? Why didn't you tell us that right away? I have a suspicion that I can't confirm on the air that they never planned on saying what she did, but something forced their hand. That's my suspicion. Why on earth did they not announce right away when she was fired that it was over theft? Again, what changed? What changed between when they announced her firing without saying the cause to the point where Friday they finally coughed up the cause? Here's another thing. I don't know that I agree with them saying that she shouldn't be arrested for this. We believed, in consultation with law enforcement at that point, that this was appropriate means of pursuing. The district's attorney, Melissa Thiel Collier, I believe her first name is Melissa. Yeah, Melissa Thiel Collier, says the funds have been recovered and returned to the district. In the same Fox 11 story, they say we don't know what she did with the money. Yet they were able to get the money recovered? Huh? The district says the money was taken from a staff soda machine, staff donations to a Sunshine account, and proceeds from popcorn sales. The money was meant to be spent on food for staff or gifts for other staff members. The district says the funds have been recovered and returned to the district. Well, then how do you not know what she did with them? Or did she have that amount equal? The old Collier says the school district didn't press charges because it could recover the stolen money on its own. That's not why you press charges. You don't press charges to get the money back. You press charges because somebody committed a crime and needs to be punished. If somebody robs a bank and then gives the money back, you don't charge them with bank robbery? What the hell is that? This district has such a knack for taking something which should not have been a big deal. Maybe they took it out of her paycheck. Well, I suppose that, and that's another. But Pete, I have to start attending. I'm sorry, I have to start attending these news conferences, so I can ask these questions. What do you mean you recovered the money? How did you recover the money? Why did you wait until now to tell us that she stole money? Why did you issue a news release that made it sound as though children's safety may have been at risk? Nobody thinks, really. I need to start going to these news conferences. Ask some questions. Why? The school district has taken when it should have been a relatively minor incident. Again, I'm not saying that a principal stealing from these types of funds is a small deal. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is they've handled it horribly. Just horribly. Really, nobody at that news conference asked, when you announced she was fired in late October, when you announced she was fired in mid-October, why couldn't you tell us the cause then, and why can you tell us now? What has changed that you can now tell us this? I think the notion that they consulted with law enforcement and decided it wasn't worth pursuing charges is nonsense. It's not $50, it's $1,500. And yeah, I actually think the amount would make a difference. Let me give you an example on that. If she took $50 because she needed the cash at the moment and was going to pay it back and then didn't pay it back, an emergency came up, I don't think this would have been that big a deal. But she was tapping various accounts to the tune of $1,500. And I think that is a different situation. But saying, no, we got the money back, so we're not going to pursue criminal action. I have a problem with that. I think they've handled this entire, particularly the public relations aspect of it, I think they've handled it horribly. Apparently, the departure of Stonewall Brooker has not improved their public relations skills one iota. Stonewall Brooker, that is, if I mispronounced her name. All right, coming up after 9, a couple of, actually, 3 major things to discuss on the federal government level. What should Republicans do now about Obamacare? What happens to the U.S. Senate now that Harry Reid has used the nuclear option? And speaking of nuclear, just how bad is the Iran agreement? All of those things with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson at 9:06. It's 8:56.